Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 4.
What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, this is our newest episode. We are now into the month of April 2020, and I thank God for all that he's done in the last year, in these last 3 months of the year. A lot of things have come to pass, and a lot of things have in ministry that God has blessed. He's blessed the church, blessed us locally, blessed in our families. Testimonies I hear from my brothers out there. The things that God is doing in the lives of men, basically. So I just want to encourage you, if you received this text or you received the email or on the Facebook page, and this is Christian Men's Talk and you're listening in, thank you for taking time out. And I also would like to encourage you to be able to share this with the brothers in your circle of influence, and with brothers that you're ministering to, and your brothers in the faith, and as part of your local congregation, that they may also be encouraged here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, and also to let you know, if you want to join the conversation to be part of discussion panels, you can call in live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636. That's 646-668-2636. Amen. So we're going to be live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. moving forward into the spring for the next, we're going into the third quarter of the year, and we have a lot planned and a lot going on. Amen? Amen. Well, first let me begin. One of the things that we have to be mindful of, especially since we're coming up on the Resurrection Sunday, the celebration of the resurrection of Christ and the Passover and all that transpired in the last week of Jesus' life, that we understand the gospel and we are prepared to give an accurate presentation of the gospel. Because we have to know what we believe and why we believe it, that we can be able to share, fulfill the Great Commission, and share the gospel with those who do not know. And also to encourage ourselves and encourage those around us in the body of Christ, that we are connected one to another, and that we can do more together than we can separately. So as an encouragement for the brothers that are listening, just meditate on these things. When we share the gospel, do we share who God is? That God exists, he is the creator. That God is holy, God never sins and always does what's right. That God loves us, he loves all mankind, but especially his church. Amen? That he provided a way of salvation. We're talking about God the Father here, because that's the other thing with the gospel. We have to be able to give a understanding. We can't give a thorough understanding of the Godhead, of the Trinity, but we have to distinguish between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in our gospel presentation, or be prepared to. A lot of people won't ask, but if someone asks you, is there one God in three persons, or what is the definition of a Trinity, do we have an answer? So when I say to God the Father, again, to understand that God exists, he is absolutely sovereign, and he is the creator. Amen? And do we know what is man, and why do we need a Savior? That people, we are basically sinful. We are sinful because of Adam. Adam's sin is in our nature, and because it's part of our nature, the sins that we commit in the flesh are fruits of cause of who we are. And without salvation and coming to Christ and being reborn again in the spiritual sense, we will continue to live and commit those sinful acts. Amen? So God, knowing that the Bible says that man is dead in the trespasses and sins, that the Bible says that sinners are separated from and under the wrath of God. As sinners, as living disobedient lives to God, we are on the train tracks of the wrath of God. Is a train coming down the tracks, bearing down on every human being. And without Christ, there is no salvation from the wrath to come. And because of that, because we sin, we deserve the punishment that God is going to put upon all human beings who do not know Christ. And these are the things that we have to, those things there, to me, are the most important things we have to get across to a non-believer. Why they need salvation, and why they are a sinner, because what the Word of God says. It's not us judging people. It's us telling them what the Word of God says. Because they don't understand why man is a sinner, then there was no need for them, for Christ to die. And that's the next part. Who was Christ? Who was Jesus Christ? Why did he have to sacrifice? And why is he our Savior and our Lord? So the understanding that he is the Son of God, God in the flesh, that Christ died for our sins, that Christ took the punishment for our sins, that he's the only way of salvation, and Jesus is both Lord and Savior. We must recognize his Lordship, and that means that as Christian men, as Christians, we ought to obey. And most of all, after we share that gospel message, the response that each man, woman, child, come to that understanding, now they must respond to how should they respond to the gospel. The response is the repentance of their sins and trusting what Jesus Christ has done for us. That he took our place, and because he took our place, we are now saved from the wrath of God. And we're saved and become the children of God. So knowing that our salvation occurs when one repents of his sin and believes in the work, the person in the work of Jesus Christ. Repentance, we have to understand, we have to explain to them through the scripture that repentance is your turning away and rejection of sinning and turning to God, moving away from who you used to be in the flesh, living for yourself, and living and turning to live for God and live obedient. And discipleship is costly. Following Christ will require and will produce change in the lifestyle, all the way from how we think to how we act to what we say. That's called the fruits of repentance, to have a new life, that we are now different. Amen. So, brothers, I just wanted to encourage you in those moments to meditate on that when, again, we're in this season, that evangelism, to fulfill the Great Commission, that we have to be prepared to go out and plant those seeds of truth, plant those the seeds of the gospel, and that they will fall on good ground for all those around us, for strangers, for those in our community, in our families, in our homes, that we have the truth of the gospel, and we're sharing it clearly and precisely, and that we are a resource that we can lead someone to the understanding of why they must be saved and what they must do to be saved. Amen? Amen. I'm open with prayer. We're going to get right into that conversation. Elder Mark's on the line, and we're going to bring him in shortly. Amen. Father God, first of all, let me just say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to take our punishment, to stand in the gap for us, oh God, to be our substitute, oh God, for the wrath to come, oh God. So, Father, in faith, we believe, God. We believe in Jesus, and through that belief, we are renewed, and we are restored, and we are born again. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit with each believer, each of those who are converted and come to know the knowledge of you, Lord God. So I thank you for what you're doing in the world today, in the churches, in the people, Lord God. I thank you for a renewed heart and renewed minds, God. I thank you, God, for renewed characters, God. I thank you for my brothers in Christ, oh God, that may be listening in right now, God. God, you know their needs, you know their desires, God. You know the struggles, the temptation, and the trials. But yet you are with them, oh God. So I ask that you would touch them right now. Father, give them the answer they're looking for, oh God, in the midst of their struggle. God, in the midst of their challenge. Give them a word today, oh God. Send your ministering angels, God. Stir up the spirit within them that they might be obedient to you and believe you and trust you and follow you through whatever they're going through, Lord God. Father, I continue to pray for healing of those who are sick, oh God, those in hospital rooms, those in nursing homes, God. I pray for the families, oh God, who are who are by the bedside, who are in need of comforting through sick family members, oh God, who are nursing them back to health, God, that their faith will not be waned, and that they would persevere through the trial and the test, oh God, and then will give you glory in the healing, oh God. Father, we continue to pray for the church, for pastors, leaders, and elders, God. We ask you to continue, oh God, to touch us, guide us, and direct us, oh God. And first of all, God, we want to thank you for wisdom and discernment this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. So today we're going to be talking a little bit. We're going to continue. We're going to be talking about blessed and what it means. How does God bring righteousness to men? The blessed righteousness. This is going to be part two of a discussion we started having before about being blessed and what it means to be blessed. But we're going to zero in on the blessedness of righteousness and understanding that we are blessed because of our righteousness, because of what God has done for us and what he's doing through us. Amen. Elder Mark, good morning. Can you hear me, sir?
Good morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, bro. How you doing this morning?
I'm blessed, sir. Blessed as always.
Amen. There you go. So good. That means we have a good, solid definition and understanding of it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, bro, I'm gonna open up because it's funny. I sent the elder information what we're gonna talk about this week, and he said, "Didn't we just talk about that?" I said, "Yeah, but we're gonna, this is gonna be part two. There's always more to the Word of God. We can just add on stuff. I mean, come on." But amen. But let me. I'm gonna go quick recap and touch on some things we talked about before, because we did talk about being blessed and being favored of God and understanding. The blessing is the inner quality of a faithful servant of God. And that's the thing I do want to point out to the brothers out there, that we are blessed because we are his children. We are his faithful servant. I talked about in the opening about Jesus Christ being Lord. the Lordship of Christ means we are a servant because he is our Lord and Savior. And a lot of times in the body of Christ, we forget the Lord part. We like the Savior part, but we forget the Lord part. And that Lord part calls us to be obedient. So that's something that we're blessed because we are faithful, obedient servants of God. And that spiritual state, it can't be moved by outside circumstances. That's the thing we need to understand, that who we are in Christ, and we are blessed, and we are his true servants of him. So those are the things I did want to touch on when it talks about being blessed, that I won't say if it's a prerequisite or requirement, but that we are blessed comes along with our obedience. You know what I mean? It's not. That's why I understand that the salvation and grace and the gospel is not a free thing. We don't earn our salvation, but with our salvation, we have responsibilities. That's the way I want to put it. You know, because so we are blessed, there's an inner quality as faithful servants of God. So what do you say, sir?
Amen. I just to recap before we dive into the words that the scripture that you shared, I just want to express that our blessing is more than a position or status. You know, so many times I'm just recapping once again, we just jump into that cliche statement, I'm blessed and highly favored, but our blessing is based on our status. Our thought of our blessing is based on what we have. We see somebody says, oh, I'm blessed, or that's a blessing when they're talking about the car that they have or the clothes that they have or the money or what their bank account says, I'm blessed. But as soon as that stuff is gone, you feel like, my blessing just left me, or now I'm being cursed. You know, we're actually questioning, God, why have you cursed me? Why haven't you given me these things? Why aren't you, what happened to the blessings that you promised? And the entire time, we have to realize that our salvation is a blessing because we don't deserve to live as a sinner. We don't deserve life. The cost of sin is death. And the fact that we haven't died in our sin because, as Deke said, we are sinners. We are born into sin because of Adam. Because of our ancestry, we are born of flesh. We are born of sinners. We should be dead in our sin, but because of the blessing of God, because of salvation, we haven't died in that. So we have to understand our blessing is more than the position or the status, the things that we have. It's really our belief and understanding that God is sovereign, that God is the one that saves, that Jesus died on the cross for us, that everything was done for us. That is our blessing. Not what's been done and given to us, but what's been done for us. So if God didn't give us not one more thing, if he didn't allow any other thing for us to receive any other thing, the fact that we receive salvation, that we're not paying the cost of sin with our death, that's our blessing. Back to you, sir.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, that's one of the things we have to understand and be mindful of, that just the fact that I'll say this, brothers, men and brothers, everyone that's listening. You know, we have to remember the fact that we are saved from the wrath of God is our greatest blessing. And again, like my brother, I want to say what my brother was saying too, it's not the material things that we have. It's not the fact that we're saved from the wrath of God. Because remember, this life is like a vapor. I don't care if we live to be 125. Eternity in Christ, eternity with God, is the blessing. Now, what are we going to do with the blessing that we have? Because if we have that hope and that assurance, and now we're called in Scripture to obey him. So how are we living a life of obedience right now and all that we have? And I know, brothers, that we think about a lot of things. We could be blessed with a wife and our children, all those things. But let me say this when he talks about blessing. If all those things are taken away, remember Job. Where is our faith then? When we love God, when we worship God just the same, when we had all those things, or will we be able to withstand what Job withstood? Because sometimes we forget about Job. We only want to read Job certain times of the year or whatever, but remember Job. That's all I can say. And then we're going to look at Abraham, because Abraham was called the thing that God promised him, the promise God gave him, but yet now he asked Abraham to sacrifice that thing. So all that God has given you, if God asked you to put it all down, and to sacrifice it. He's asked you to sacrifice the job. He asked you to sacrifice those things that you say you love and you are blessed by God for what he's given you. If he asked you to put it down, would you obey? And would you love him the same and continue to obey him through it? I know here in the Western culture, in America, we can let ourselves get a little bit spoiled when it comes to the spiritual and the natural, as men of God, as the body of Christ, as the church. But what are we willing to really sacrifice and still call ourselves blessed? I thank you for that, brother, because what you were saying to me, that just reminded me. But amen, amen. I want to leave that right there because that's something we all have to meditate on. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Oh, no, amen. I was disagreeing with you.
amen, amen. But again, this is Christian Man talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Elder Mark, and today we're going to be talking about being blessed and the blessed hope to come. So we're blessed because our sins are forgiven. Let's begin right there. You know, we're going to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, brothers. Give you opportunity, write it down, call. But you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can always go to the rebroadcast if you're driving, walking, doing your jogging, driving in your car, and you listen, but you can go back. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And it says verse number 3. I'm going to start at verse number 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him who worked, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Verse number 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justified the ungodly, his faith is accounted for the righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man whom God impugns righteousness apart from works. Verse 7 says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impugn his sin. And brothers, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about being blessed, just the fact of our salvation, of what God has done through Christ Jesus, that we are not going to be punished for the sins, first of all, for the sin of Adam, but then for the sins of the life we lived before we were saved. Every man, you know exactly who you were, what you did, what you were part of before Christ. And now I want to talk about while you were in Christ, the things you've done that was in disobedience, but yet you will not be punished for because he is your child. And because remember, Jesus Christ died for our past, our present, and our future sin. Because in this life, understand that none of us is going to live a perfect life and not have to come to Christ and confess our sins and ask repentance for the choices we may make going down the road, even when we think we may be doing good or living good, or that the pressures of life get to us. What do you say, brother?
My brother, I'm going to jump to the New Living Translation, verses 7 and 8, for a little easier context. And it says, Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. And just as you were talking about, Deacon, I just wanted to make it a little clearer to understand that is what salvation is, that even in our disobedience, what we haven't done, what God has asked us to do, or what we know we weren't supposed to do and we still did. In our salvation, those things in our past life, salvation, we've been forgiven of those things. So it says our sins have been put out of sight. So nobody's holding our sins over our head. The enemy will try to put you in a position to hold everything that you've done in life and put everything against you and make you feel like you don't deserve it, that you aren't blessed, that you're going to suffer and that you're going to be cursed because of who you were. Because you were a sinner, because even though you've asked for salvation, the enemy is going to try to make you feel like you're not worthy, that you don't deserve it, that God doesn't see you as deserving of his grace, of his blessings. That's the very things that even Job's friends told him. Job's wife said, you're stupid. You should curse God. if he's allowing this, you need to curse God. You know, sometimes we got to understand our situations are really for us to see the blessing that God has for us. We feel like we're being cursed, but it's really a chance for us to see just how blessed we are. Because sometimes the things that we hold on to, the things that we begin to concentrate on, take our thoughts, and I'm not saying this about Job, I'm just saying in our life as men, we concentrate on things that aren't of God, and we consider those our blessings. And sometimes God is jealous. God is a jealous God, and in our salvation, in our understanding, in our connection, in our faith, we have to recognize that God is above all things. So if we have put idols in front of him, those are the very things that he's asking or sometimes forces us to sacrifice so that we can have the correct relationship with him to receive the true blessing that he has intended for us. Because we mix up what is our blessing. We mix up what things God really has for us when we start looking at the material things like we talked about. It's not about your material things. It's not about those things that you can quantify. It's about the quality. It's about the connection, the life with God in your life, the life that you live following the word of God, following and believing truly who God is, believing that Christ died on the cross for our sins, that Christ was sacrificed for our life, that we would have life and have it abundantly. That means we would live life abundant. Doesn't mean we're going to have abundant things and we're going to have abundant materials. We're going to have money in the bank. We're going to have cars and we're going to have these things. Life abundant means we'll have life more than what we deserve. And as sinners, we don't deserve life. So if we have any form of life that we can account that God is moving on, any form, in any place, even in our suffering, even in our test, because in our test comes the testimony of how strong God is. But that is our blessing. And it says, oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven. Those very things that you did that or didn't do has been forgiven. That is truly a blessing that we are forgiven, even without asking. In our salvation, we have already been, he's already accounted those things as behind us. He's already pushed those things behind us. We are to stand with a repenting heart, but those very things that the enemy would try to bring up in our life, would try to make us concentrate on, those are the things that are forgotten. I'd like to read something to share with you from the New Living Translation. This is the Application Bible that I've been reading. And verse 6-8, it says, this is the notes that's given. What can we do to get rid of our guilt for the sins we have committed? King David was guilty of terrible sins, adultery, murder, lying, and yet experienced the joy of forgiveness. We too can have joy if we quit denying our guilt and recognize that we have sinned, admit our guilt to God, and ask for his forgiveness. And 3, let go of our guilt and believe that God has forgiven us. This can be difficult when sin has a root in us over many years, when it is very serious or when it involves others. We must remember that Jesus is willing and able to forgive every sin. In a view of tremendous price he paid on the cross, we are arrogant to think that sin might be too great for him to forgive. It's an arrogance to think that God can't forgive your sin, that God hasn't forgiven your disobedience, because we've come to him and said, Lord God, forgive us. We recognize that you are God and God alone. We recognize that Christ died on the cross for our sins. That is the part of the sinner's prayer. That is a part of our asking for salvation, recognizing who God is, just as Deacon Farr shared at the start of the show. That is us recognizing and acknowledging who God is. And in that, it would be arrogant to think that he can't and won't forgive us. That was the purpose of the salvation. And in that, that is our blessing, that we're not going to die. We're not going to die in the very things that we were, not who we are, because sin is not who you are. It's who you were. It's who you were accounted as. It was who you were accounted as before salvation. But upon that salvation, upon that asking of God for salvation, you're created as a new person. You're birthed as a new creature. The word says you're birthed every day as a new creature. That means every day we should not only be recognizing for our salvation, but we should be repenting for the things that we fell short of in our salvation. But that too is our blessing, to know that God will always forgive. All it is for us to ask and admit to him that he is Lord and he is God above all things. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, brothers. Again, this is Ishel Christianman talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And one of the things we have to remember about God in Christ Jesus, that he's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting to hear our hearts. You know, I will say this for the brothers out there who may not be, that may not given their life to Christ, have not confessed Jesus Christ, have not confessed to their sins, have not realized that God is willing and able to save you, to renew your mind, for you to be born again. He's waiting. The scripture talks about it in Romans 10. It says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Psalm says, Thou, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them who call upon thee. Men and brothers, if you're on the edge, if you're on the fence, I know a lot of brothers that get this link and listen to our program, our episodes, are men of God in the church, and we come in and give encouragement. But for those that might be listening who are on the fence or new to the faith or came to faith and then, you know, they don't feel saved, let me say it like that, or not assured of their salvation, even though they're struggling with life choices, with living everyday life. We all struggle with everyday life and have struggled from the time we come to faith in Christ to live this thing out. It's going to be a struggle, but as we mature and are we encouraged by one another, we come to understand that the trials and the things that we go through in life had nothing to do with our salvation if we believe God and we believe Jesus and believe that Jesus paid the price for our sins and that we are truly forgiven. And that's the blessing that we want to focus on for this episode, that you are blessed because of your salvation, that you are now righteous and blessed. That is the greatest blessing you can have from all those things, because a lot of time in the church, we people are led astray to think blessings are temporal, physical things. The Bible speaks about our faith is greater than those things that are rust and more so eat. The clothes and shoes and cars and houses, all of that stuff. You know, I always used to say, you know, I used to tell people, brothers, as we came to faith, when the prosperity gospel was really at its most menacing and destructive, the junkyards are full of people's brand new cars they were so proud to have. Those abandoned houses we see. We have issues here in Maryland, Baltimore, about vacant homes. I know in New York City, I remember back in the 70s, burnt out tenements and buildings. Remember, those are all one-time brand new buildings, brand new spanking apartments. People are happy to have them, but they all deteriorate and gone. But our faith in God will not. His forgiveness and love for us will not. And our salvation will not rust dissolve. Only thing the enemy can do is bring doubt into our life. And if we tie our faith and who we are to the things around us and our circumstances, that's going to weaken our faith. So, brothers, I encourage you to understand that you are forgiven, you are the righteousness of God, and that is our blessing. You know, because even if we look at, I'm going to point the brothers to Matthew 5 and 6, 7, the Beatitudes. That whole thing that Jesus talked about, the Beatitudes, is about the spiritual status of the body of Christ as a believer. All of those blessings, because he has, I think it's like 9 or 10, he speaks about blessed are. Those are spiritual things, not physical. I just pray that you would dive a deep dive and study for that, and knowing what God thinks of his people is the blessing. Are you content in God, knowing that you are approved by God because of Jesus Christ? That's the simple and quickest way I want every man to understand. Are you content in God, knowing that you're approved by God? You know, we say a lot about, you know, if God doesn't do another thing for us, God's going to do things for us we can't even imagine. That's the other thing about being blessed, because we have a hope of things to come. We have a hope of heaven. Because heaven is going to be nothing like this, okay? It's an old Ohio, man, that just came to me. It's an old Ohio player song, but I'm not going to go down that path right now. Heaven is going to be nothing like this. We cannot imagine. Amen. Help me out here, brother. I just drifted off, man. I got Ohio players in my ear now. I can't. Oh, my goodness. Man, heaven ain't like this. You're right. All right. Amen. This is Deacon Paul. This is Christian Talk. I'm here with Elder Mark Dane trying to hold me down because I'm drifting here. Probably pull me back in. But anyway. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Let's go to, bro. I need you, bro. All right. Go to Romans 4 and 7. Help me out here. Oh, Lord.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Romans 4 and 7, bro. Read that for me.
Okay. And that's where I was. Oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight.
Yeah. We're blessed because we are forgiven. Because everyone, we're forgiven of all our sins. So, Matt, let me say this. There's no sin that we can commit that God has not forgiven, that Christ has not paid the price for. That's the thing we need to truly understand. Once we come to faith, once we accept Christ, we accept who Christ was, we accept his work on the cross, and we accept that the Holy Spirit living within us now guides, directs us, and brings us back to our remembrance of who he said he was and what he's done for us. We are blessed. And that's one of the things. You know, now when someone tells you they're blessed, is this what they're talking about? That no matter what their circumstance and situation is, they know that they are a God's son, they are his child, and do we know it? That's the biggest thing. We have to be secure in our faith and assurance of who we are in Christ. And that can be the blessing, that blessing can carry us through the challenges of this life, because as men, husbands and fathers, we're going to have challenges, we're going to have to make decisions, we're going to have to have the wisdom and discernment of God, and we're going to have to, and we keep moving and pushing forward. So, brothers, I just want to encourage you in that knowing that all and every sin is forgiven. And again, I want to focus on this. I'm going to come to you, Elder. But even that after our profession of faith, those sins are forgiven also. But we have to be humbled. We have to have a contrite heart. We have to have a repentant heart. We have to understand that we have sinned against God, not so much against the people, because we're going to let people down. People are going to be disappointed about us. People are going to feel a certain way about us. But if we understand that our sin is against God and go to him for forgiveness, he can restore our relationships one to another if we humbly come to him. And that's the thing, too, I want to talk to, especially husbands and fathers, because we have to realize, I used to say this a lot because of the issues that I had with my father in our relationship in the years past. Some of our fathers and parents, they did the best they could. And some of you brothers who may not have known your fathers or wasn't raised with your father, trust me, you may not understand the pressure he was under and the things he had to deal with. Because you know some of you brothers, let me put it this way, I'm gonna come to you, Elder, because I want to go. But some of you brothers understand some of the things your father might have had to deal with, you probably couldn't even handle. But all you seen was that he wasn't there, and the stories you might have heard, or you just never knew him. But you don't know what that brother might have went through. Because making a child, that's like a good 15 minutes. After that, we don't know what went on. What do you say, sir?
Amen. Yes, you know, my brother, it's definitely a place we have to be humble in, because we don't know what another person is going through, whether it be the person that's in our life or that isn't in our life. We don't know what's going through, but they are deserving of the same love that Christ gives us. You know, we always talk about, and this is going to go off to another thing, and asking for forgiveness. We ask Christ to forgive us, but yet we won't forgive someone else. How dare we ask for forgiveness for our own issues and our own problems? And so many times, you know, I've talked to so many men that have talked about the place that they were with their father, and then I look at the relationships they had with their own children. I'm like, or they say their father was a womanizer, or their father did this. And I'm thinking, brother, do you realize that you're just getting yourself corrected from doing the same things? You've been walking, you were walking the same path, if not were, are still walking the same path, but because you have so much hate for your father, you can't even realize how alike, how much like him you are, or how much like the person that you so confidently despise, that you're so openly despising, that's the very person that you resemble the most. You're doing exactly what they do or what they did. And sometimes we have to recognize when we talk about salvation, we talk about sin, it's for everybody in every place, and all sin is forgiven. All sin is recognized as the same. There is no sin greater than another sin in the eyes of God. We have all sinned. They are all sins against him. And I think we said this before, I believe it was last week. The prerequisite to any sin is, Father, forgive me. The prerequisite to healing, it doesn't matter if it's murder, if it's adultery, the prerequisite is, Father, forgive me. You have to ask God to forgive you of every sin, of every single sin. There is nothing else that happens to gain forgiveness. Whether you change the wording or what or not, the context is still, Father, forgive me. Lord God, forgive me. Jesus Christ, forgive me. Take this away. Lord God, I repent. All of them say the same. Father God, forgive me. So we have to understand we can't hold that against somebody else and even hold it against ourselves, because we so often go back into our own issue thinking that we're not deserving. I'd like to jump back up to Romans 5 and just to give some explanation on that, talking more about that. When Deke read it earlier, he read, of course, verse 5 says, but people, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. When some people learn that they are saved through God, saved by God through faith, they start to worry. Do I have enough faith? They wonder, is my faith strong enough to save me? This is where we really miss the point. The point is Jesus Christ saved us, not our feelings or actions. He is strong enough to save us no matter how weak our faith is. He is strong enough no matter how weak our faith is, no matter what the situation looks like, no matter how bad we are in it, how bad it's been, how much it's been going on, what we did, where we were, or who we are, he's strong enough to forgive us. Jesus offered us salvation, salvation as a gift because he loves us, not because we earned it. We couldn't do anything to earn salvation, but he offered it as a gift because he loves us. The sacrifice that was made was because he loves us, not because we earned it. If we got what we earned, we would be dead. We earned sin. The sin we committed earned us death. But because Jesus loved us, because he loved us, once again I say because he loves us, he gives us salvation. He gives us that gift. And no matter how powerful our faith, we can't do anything by our own efforts. Faith is believing and trusting in Jesus and reaching out to accept the wonderful gift of salvation. That's what faith is. Faith is measured in our belief of God, in our belief that God can do, is doing, and will do all things that we need. And need is not our gaining these physical or material things, but what we need is salvation from sin. What we need is saving from what is death. It says that Jesus took the keys of death. He took the power of death. Death has no sting. That means sin, which equals death, has no sting because we've been saved from it. The fact that we have been saved from our own selves, from our own decisions, from the things that we walk into when we were tempted. Now, temptation isn't sin, but acting upon temptation is. So our actions, our reactions to temptation were sin, are sin. And the fact that we've been forgiven of those things is our salvation. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But because God loves us, he continues to give it to us. And all it takes is for us to ask for his forgiveness, to ask for forgiveness and say, Lord God, you are God above all. You are the greatest name. Your name is stronger than anything else. There is nothing that can come up in my life that can separate me from your love. Absolutely nothing. Romans 8 says that there is nothing, no creature, no height, nor depth, nothing, no angels, no powers, no principalities, nothing can separate us from the love
that is Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from salvation. Nothing can separate us from that gift. Nothing can separate us from that blessing. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. You are listening to Israel's Christian Men Talk again. I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler, Elder Mark, and we're talking about the blessed righteousness and being blessed in who we are in Christ, and that salvation is our greatest gift and the greatest thing we could be thankful for what God has done. Again, the sin that we set. I want us, the two brothers, take an opportunity now just to just focus on where you are in Christ. Focus, you know, who we are in Christ, and then understand where our brothers in Christ may be in their walk, in living this thing out. You know, walking in the Spirit of God and living and striving and pursuing to live a life pleasing to God, because that's what we all are going through. I don't care if from the pastor to the guy who just got saved last Sunday to the person who may get saved coming up this next couple of weeks, you know, because we know Easter time, Resurrection Sunday, everybody gets invited to church. So those are also opportunities. But in that, we have to be able, are we preparing ourselves to be able to disciple and encourage those who may come to faith, may want to commit, you know, come to the knowledge of Christ? And do we understand that we can explain to them that God is not blind, is not turned a blind eye to sin? You know, God is righteous. God is truth. God is love. And if we tell God that we can and know that we can trust God and count on it, once we are forgiven of our sins, God will not bring them up again. He's not going to count it against us. He's counting it against his son, Jesus Christ, that our sins were counted against Christ and nailed to the cross. This is the gospel that we have to give assurance to ourselves, to one another, and to the new believer, and to the body and whole, and let them know, no matter what, your sins have been nailed to the cross, and that the payment has been made. Christ has paid it all. When we say Christ has paid it all, we're talking about that sin that's going to determine our eternal destiny. So we're internally blessed to the gift of God through Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel we have to get down, that to get down deep inside of us understanding, and that's what we have to be able to share to encourage others and give hope to those who are hopeless. It's men of God. And then, brothers, this is where it comes in, that we have more in common than we are different. Husbands, fathers, men, we go through the same things. We're dealing with the same things. I said last week, we're dealing with the same things, but the names have changed to protect the innocent. Whatever you're going through with your wife, someone is going through it. Whatever you're going through with your children, there's another brother who's been through it and is on the other side of it. There's men that are going through it right now. But we have to, again, if we praying with one another, are we connected with one another, are we holding each other accountable, are we praying with and praying for each other as men? Because, again, we're coming now, we're coming around all this, these mandates and restrictions and things are being lifted. I'm getting messages every week about men coming back together. There was two retreats last week. There's a men conference coming. Brothers, no matter where you are, inside your congregation, the men in your church, it's time for us now to gather again, for men to encourage one another face to face. I'm just saying, no matter wherever you are, because this is a local and a personal thing that I just want to drop into all the men listening in your spirit. It's time to come back together face to face. God bless Zoom. God bless Google Team. God bless all that. Facebook Live and all of it. But now it's the time for us to come one back together in fellowship. And I'm going to go back to even in the middle of the pandemic. We can meet in the parking lot. We can meet in the Walmart. We can meet somewhere. We get to see one another in face-to-face. It's time. It's just time. I mean, okay. I'm going to get off that right now, but we have to, again, every man has to search his heart, but we have to understand that that Jesus Christ has paid the price, and that the greatest blessing that we have is our salvation, our eternal destiny, who we are in Christ, the body of Christ. These are the true blessings, the one another and the fellowship. These are the blessings that we can count on, that we can build on, that we can grow with in our faith in God, and understand who we are in Christ as men of God. And as men go, is the way the church goes. because I lead my family and you lead your family, and the pastors leading the men. This is the future of the church. This is where we have to go and where we need to be. So, men, I encourage you, brothers, where you are, take some time for prayer and fasting, hear from God, and then be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Amen? So I just want to encourage you in that area. But, brother, I'm coming to you because I'm getting ready to wrap up here in a little bit. But I just wanted to say that because a lot of things are going on, but I just wanted to know that we just want to know, again, the privilege that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. I'm here today because of Christ. I know my brother's here today because of Christ, and some of you know your lives because of Christ. You are where you are, because without Christ, you know your destiny would have been different. Without Christ, you know in 2020, in April, you could have been in a whole different kind of circumstance and situation. So I believe that's where we have to remain humble and know that all that we are and all that we have is because of Christ. Amen? And that we have a hope. Brother, I'm going to come to you for closing and your final thoughts, but I also appreciate you doing because, I pray that something was said in the last 40, 50 minutes that will encourage your brother in that you are blessed. Let me say that. That could be my last word. Know that you are blessed because of Christ Jesus. So when somebody asks you and you say you're blessed and highly favored, you believe that thing. Say it with conviction. Say it with compassion, not as a cliche and a happy saying for the facade, but just know it. And if you don't know it, pray that God will reveal and make you realize who you are in him, that you are his child and you have an inheritance coming. Brother, I'm coming to you again, man. Thank you for joining me. You have the last word, and you can close us out in prayer.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to share something I heard another person say, and, we talk about the cliche statement of I'm blessed, and I was on an elevator I do Amazon Flex delivery sometimes, and I was on the elevator going into, like, the fifth floor of some retirement building. And an older lady was there, and she said, "How are you doing?" I said, "How are you doing?" She said, "I'm blessed," and I said, "I'm blessed as well." And she asked me, "How did I know?" And my simple words were, "Because I'm still able to say that I am." Because in the midst of everything where I could be, everything that I've seen, the stuff that I'm going through, I still recognize that I'm blessed in the fact that I'm able to confess that I still am blessed. I'm saved from who I was. I'm saved from what I should be dealing with. It could be so much worse, but still I recognize that I'm blessed. I don't have all the money that I want to have. I don't have the things that I want to have, but those things are material. Those are the very things that I can't take with me. But what I do have in eternity with God is my salvation, that I won't die in the sin that I lived. I won't die in who I was. I won't die and suffer the consequences of my actions, of my previous actions. And every day we do fall short. We still are flesh, so we're not going to live a totally sin-free life. We are sinners. That's just what the flesh is. Our spirit man truly is wrapped up in flesh. And our flesh is about sin. Our flesh desires to react to the temptations around us. So each and every day, gentlemen, my brothers, each and every day is a push. Each and every day is a struggle. Each and every day is a fight. But recognize that you are blessed because Christ loved you beyond any way we could ever love ourselves. Would you have died on the cross for your children? Would you have sent your son? Would you be the one that would die for somebody else because of their issues? But Christ loved us enough to do that for us, to die on the cross, to suffer all that pain, all that anguish for us, so that we wouldn't die in the consequences of our own sin, of our own actions. So just recognize, my brothers, you are blessed.
Blessed doesn't mean you have $1 million in the bank. Blessed doesn't mean you're driving a fancy car. Blessed doesn't mean you have a three-piece suit for Sunday. Blessed means you recognize that God has given salvation. The gift of salvation has been given unto you, even though we stand undeserving. But as we stand undeserving, I pray that each and every day you recognize just how awesome, how strong, how powerful you are as you walk with God. Stand to be the man that you're called to be and be more than what the world says you are because you are blessed. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. We truly thank you for another opportunity to join together, Lord God, to just give you praise, glory, and honor, for you are God and God alone, and we are thankful, Father God. We lift a hallelujah praise unto you, thanking you for what you have already done in our life, for everything that you will do and the things that you are doing in our life, the things that you're doing right now, Lord God. We thank you that here is a holy time, Lord God, that right now we recognize as we stand available to you, Lord God, as we tear down the walls and the things that we built up that blocked us from seeing you, Lord God, as we become sensitive to you, Lord God, and we stand available to you, Lord God, that we are vulnerable to you, Lord God, that our hearts and minds are open to see that you are moving on our behalf, even when it doesn't feel like it, Lord God. Even when we don't have all the things that we desire, we recognize, Lord God, we are truly in the midst of a blessing, Lord God. The blessing, Lord God, that you have saved us from ourselves, that you have saved us from sin, that you, Lord God, are continually to pour out in the abundance that is you and you alone, the agape love, the unconditional love that you continue to bestow. Father God, we thank you for this day and every day, and we pray to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless.
God bless.